Vad får jag här? Vilket syan du recommend? Do the help like the candle and the incense. Sadhu. Can. Sadhu. Sad. Very good. Yep. Suyan give you the honor to light the candle and the incense. Sadhu. We can all stand, eh?
Sadhu.
Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let us compose our mind. Eh? Develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 on the chanting book. Then we shall commence the Pali chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami, adina dana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami, kamesu mechachara viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami, musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokhang Pu pang mila yati yata idang me ayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang ano kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang ano kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang ano kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become our powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings who can receive them. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's pay respect to Triple Gemma. Badang pajemi. Damang pajemi. Sanghang pajemi. Okay, you can be seated, then we can have our meditation. So, like Suyan said, it has been quite a while since we had this place for Thursday class. 2 months. Wow. So, after 2 months, this is the first time we are having it back at Suyan and Mifong's house. Eh? So, a very welcome. Yeah? Our brother Pang is here. We were told by Suyan you bought the neighbor. Oh, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good, very good. So now very convenient. Eh? No need to rush, just walk. Then next time we don't have class, we can use your place. Eh? Can I? Oh, sadhu, sadhu. So that we don't have to search too far. Unless you and Suyan both not around, then we go Pamasuri. Very good. So when is the house delivered? Oh, okay. Good, good, good. So finalize. So another 2-3 months. Good. Sadhu, sadhu. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. So we also would like to welcome Kit Hoon. She was with us at the whole retreat. Then the one at the back, is it your friend? What's her name? Oh, Jess, yeah. Oh, now she sit at the back there. Just sadhu. Just now when she came in, the voice sound like Alicia, no? So I thought it was Alicia. Then later Alicia turned off. Yeah. Anyway, very good evening to all. Eh? Yeah, I know, I know. That one I very clear, that one. This one is a Sally's daughter, the second one, very much younger. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sadhu. Eh? You're most welcome. Yeah. Did your wife report to you the retreat? Huh? Did she report to you? Oh, very good. It was beautiful, eh? Alicia, sadhu. Those who went, they will know. This year's retreat was a bit different. We managed for the first time to cover the whole of Heart Sutta. No? Last time we only take out chapter bits and pieces here. But this year is more systematic. And I was able to cover it because I rushed towards the last 2-3 days. And that was useful because I realized a lot of those new people, they really need the understanding before they can really sit and benefit from it. So tonight we should thank Brother Suyan. He sent me the WhatsApp about that video. It was a very interesting. So when he sent to me on the second last day of the retreat, I listened to the first part. Then after that, I was thinking to share the retreat, but I say better not too sensitive. So I say, wait for us to come back. Then we can discuss it here, so easier. Because a lot of these things need understanding. If you meditate without understanding, then the way they ask the question, you will know. And this girl who asked the question, I think she is a very, very long time meditator, experience, go all over the places. Then one thing good about her frankness is she asked the Achan, I forgot the name, Achan or Achan Suchan. You see, I realize I'm not going anywhere. Can Achan please advise? Then he said, every teacher, every tradition, they teach mindfulness so differently, not here, not there, then all sorts of. And she quoted quite a number of all this. Then the way Achan Suchan replied was quite interesting. The best part was on the 16 Jnana knowledge, Sabhava, Dhamma, those things. And when I heard that, I said, wow, this is too sensitive. But for Achan to say, it's okay. So at least I can quote him. So not so bad. Otherwise, people will come after me. That is the 16 inside knowledge. And the way Achan reply, you know the wrong thing. You're supposed to know your heart. You're supposed to know how you become afflicted, miserable, which is quite good, that one. Anyway, after we listen to the thing, then I will explain to you. All this gave condition for the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us to arise so that we can really appreciate the teaching. It's so beautiful. Is it recorded? Oh, good. Okay, now we can off the light. You can have your meditation. So maybe after a break of so many weeks, I will just give some simple instruction. It's just a reminder because all the teaching is already in the transcript book and also very widely discussed over these few years of sharing. So if you really still got doubt, especially those who are new, you can ask afterwards. But for those who have already been with us for quite a while, I think you are very clear about the cultivation. So for those who already know how to meditate, you just proceed. Then for those who still need understanding, I will just summarize. I will not give you all the guidelines anymore. The key thing about the Buddha's teaching is if you cannot develop the peacefulness of mind, the calmness of mind to meditate, is because the mental hindrance are there. The five mental hindrance, they are very powerful. They will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness, leading to the meditative mind, inner awareness. And because of that, most teachers who teach meditation, they got no choice. They have to come out with method and technique to fix the mind, to prevent the mind from chattering. Then in the Thai tradition, they also use a skillful means, Buddha, 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 repeat it, so that Sankara does not arise. Sankara is your mental thinking, mental activity. So these are all the skillful means. So when you understand its purpose and intent, then no harm doing it. Because before your spiritual faculty arise, the mental hindrance will be there. So according to the Buddha, you don't have to do anything to the mental hindrance. You can just let things be. Understand them for what they are. They will be there when the five spiritual faculties are not there. So don't go and control it, suppress it, or do anything to it. And to meditate is to silence your mind. It's so simple. So cultivate spiritual faculty, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. And this you can develop through the puja. All of the puja taught by the Buddha, they will summarize to you all the important, essential teaching that you have to understand. And when you have that, you can reflect on it, contemplate on it, and develop all the conditions for you to understand the teaching. Then at the same time, the spiritual faculty will fall in place. And when the spiritual faculty is there, especially the faith, sadha, leading to the spiritual zeal, virya, then sati or mindfulness will come. And this mindfulness is what meditation is all about. You need to train your mind to have this silent mind before the arising of thought. Means awareness before the knowing. So you just relax and silent. If the mental hindrance come, let it arise. Don't try to do anything. Don't fight it, don't do anything. Then if you can remain silent, peaceful, it will settle down, it will slow down. Excuse me. Then for those who find it very difficult to maybe let it settle down because you're not used to it, you can use some skillful means which I had recommended strongly. That is mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness metta to bring about inner peace leading to inner well being of mind. So when you just do the mind sweeping method, you feel relaxed and sweep it down from the forehead down. You train your mind not to think, it's just aware, and it can be at the location you want it to be. So that training is very useful. And when you are there, you just silent everything and feel, then relax. Then you move it down, silent, relax. Just feel, no more thinking. So you can do the mind sweeping method over a period of 10 to 15 minutes. Your mind will quiet down. It will decondition the heedless thinking mind. That's how you manage to develop the peacefulness of mind, leading to a quiet, silent awareness within. Then the inner well-being is to maintain the well-being mind state that has love, that has metta to radiate to yourself, your form and mind, and to others, so that they can really develop the positive mind states of inner peace leading to inner well-being. And this is very useful. So to develop metta is very easy. You start by visualizing yourself facing a mirror, smile, radiant smile. When you can smile, you are relaxed, you are at peace. Then after that, you radiate this well-being. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May our mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep in our hearts. Then this metta can be extended to your loved one, all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen within this vicinity, and the whole of Subang Jaya. Then you extend it to Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then Mother Earth, then our whole solar system, galaxy, then the whole universe. By then you should be more calm and more peaceful. The mind has developed the ability to decondition the heedless thinking, so now it's quiet, peaceful. But you need to stabilize this sati or quiet mind, so that you can have the stability of silent or sati leading to samadhi. So in order to stabilize it, we use anapanasati, which is taught by the Buddha. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostrils, just silent everything and feel. Then when the breath comes, the mind which is aware of it just follow in perfect harmony and synchrony. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Just do that. Don't try to know, just silent, relax, and let the mindfulness develop. Whenever you are aware that this mind has wanders off, you should patiently, without any reaction of mind, just bring it back. Maintain attention at your breathing or nostril area. If you are patient enough, not long, this anapanasati will develop. And when it develops, you feel very good, very calm, very peaceful. But sati is a spiritual faculty. When the mind does not stir, it's quiet and peaceful. And when it is in sati, it's even more quiet, more peaceful. Then you will experience the byproduct of this sati or mindfulness. It will bring about the inner peace, which is piti. Piti is a mental state. It's a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Sometimes it's so intense, they call it the spiritual rapture. You can feel it rapturing within your meditative mind. And you feel very good, then you like to meditate. Then initially your breath, anapanasati, will be like long breathing. Then it will make you very calm, very peaceful. You can make it continuous, you can go into absorption too. But you can try it, no harm. Then after that you release it out. Maintain a free mind in sati. Then as you relax into all this mind state that arise, it will transform and let you experience the more refined state of mind. From piti, it can lead you to sukha. Sukha is a meditative blissfulness. It's a very blissful state of mind. Sometimes it's so blissful until you feel like a lot of tingling sensation within your mind states and your form, physical form. Then as you continue to relax into it, it will continue to become more refined until finally it becomes so quiet, so still. They call it tranquility of mind or pasati. And this is the silent mind, this is the meditative mind. So you're supposed to train your mind to develop this quality of pasati or the silent mind to meditate. Okay, with that, I will let you meditate. I will ring the bell in about 20 minutes time. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peace, and inner mindfulness that you develop. Then whatever movement, action, maintain awareness. You have to make use of this trained mind state, which is the silent mind, sati, opacity, to develop the meditation in daily life, to live life. When you can do that, the real meditation commence. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will recite the English. Then after that, I'll get Ingbi to chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammang Munirajasa Sunan Tu sakamo kadam dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa
namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho bija charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati sat Ta deva manusanang putto bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko Upanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Sakkasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasango patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yadidam chattari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo bahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Bedang pujami damang pujami sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is supposed to be meditation reporting, but today I think we got a topic, because the video sent by Brother Suyan is a good discussion topic, so that we can go through it and discuss it to develop deeper, clearer understanding of what meditation is. If you meditate without understanding, like I always said, you will end up like these people after so many years. They're still asking this style of same question, which is very common. That's why when I first came out to share, I already knew all this thing going on. But then I can't say much, because at that time the understanding was not there among people, and it's so difficult to change people's habit or conditioning, because the widely accepted meditation technique and method, there are so many, and certain practices, they are so ingrained, so popularly accepted, so very difficult to change. But then when over the years they realize something which they themselves create their own doubt, they realize by doing all this for so long they are going nowhere. Like I always mention, the moment you come out of the meditation or out of retreat or whatever, the problem that often surfaces, off it first. He got a very good gazette at the back there. Later on when he play, I no need to put the mic on the handphone. Very fast, you can hear it. Where was I? That is a very common problem that they encounter, because I always say, when they are out of the retreat, they are not in the meditative state. They are not heedful. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So when you are out of the retreat or the form of meditation, then you go back to the heedless living as before, then definitely you don't stand a chance. The mental hindrance will come, because heedlessness brings about mental hindrance. And when you are heedless for so long, it becomes habitual tendency. So you keep on repeating all this in the midst of life, stirring your mind, not understanding what sati is. You are hardly mindful within the moment in the midst of life. That's the reason why a lot of these so-called retreat practices, they don't really transform you. And it is all because of lack of understanding, and people has been doing this for so long. That's why, thanks to you, I think a few hours back, I said, this is very common, and this happens when people meditate without understanding. And this is a good case study because it's video and very clear. So you want to see it, we own it together. You can use your handphone so that you can see the video, otherwise it's only audio. Okay, now we can get Suyan to help us to play. This one can pause also, very good. Okay.
People from Malaysia, you have question, I'll send you the microphone. So you can talk through the microphone. Talk close to the microphone and turn on the microphone.
Ajahn, we have some questions on noting. We have been reading a lot of books on mindfulness taught by various teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh, Sri Umin Sayadaw, and you know some Western teachers, Thai teachers. So each has their own way of teaching. And then we also read some suttas. The Buddha said the Dharma is for those who are very specific. So I'm just wondering, what is the correct way of noting? Because some methods, they teach you, you note and let go. Then some Achan, they say, you just don't note briefly. You have to look deeper. You have
possible.
To analyze. So
possible. Okay, very good, thank you. Just now she said what? Note and let go. First one is note and let go. Second one is don't note briefly. Don't note briefly. No. Later. Don't note briefly. Then, note deeply and analyze. You can reverse a bit, then listen again.
You have to look deeper. You have to analyze.
After that, continue for a while.
Sometimes we also get confused. What is the real correct way of noting and truly being mindful? And then in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, the Buddha also mentioned if you know that the mind has lust, you know it's lust. And then some said you have to analyze, but sometimes when we analyze, papancha also arise. So what is the correct way of noting?
Okay, good. So the question from the lady, I think she has gone all over the place, meditate very long, but she knew she is not getting anywhere. So she wanted to clarify the first thing is, what is mindfulness? That should be the correct question. But she straight away go into what? Different teacher teach, like method and technique. He straight away think noting is sati. You understand? That's where it go wrong. And the most gullible thing is, first one she said, they thought, note and what is this? Okay, now the first question. Who note? When the thought is actively noting, How can it be in sati? Because they don't even want to ask the correct question. What is mindfulness? What is sati? You remember at the retreat? What did I tell you about mindfulness? Mind in fullness. That is the English word that they get. But you never ask, mind is in fullness. Full of what? If the mind is full of thought, it's definitely not sati, isn't it? But when the mind is full of awareness, then it's sati. Mind full of awareness. Then it becomes sati. And what is awareness? Sati is awareness before the knowing. So sati is awareness. I think no need that mic, Mifong, you take it out. Take it, that one out. I think we can hear from here. Just now I came in, you didn't use that one, is it? Oh, for the recording. Oh, never mind, then leave it there. Sorry, Mifong, sorry. Yeah, for the recording, I forgot. Sati is awareness before the knowing. And who knows? What knows? All knowing comes from what? The thought, isn't it? And thought has the aggregate of perception. So this is a very important understanding. Sati is awareness. When you are aware before the arising of perception, the aggregate of mind, then you are in sati. That's why you cannot have thought. The moment you have thought, if the thought is doing the meditation, which is the meditator, the thought is noting. And who try to let go? Who is trying to let go? Thought is trying to let go. This is all verbalization. Concept after concept. You are not meditating. This is not sati. Understand? Then the second one is the best. He said, don't note briefly. Note deeply. How do you know deeply? You focus. Then analyze all. Who analyzed? The thought analyzed. You are creating thought, creating concept, creating verbalization without knowing that this is detrimental to sati. That's why they say later on, after the noting, towards the end, let go of the noting. They know how to tell you that now. But then why did they start with this? When you let go of the noting, then what is happening? What is happening? You are just aware, eh? Go direct into that lah. Why you want to waste time, get yourself entangled with the noting and all those things? And the key thing about the Buddha's teaching is, you know why they do all this or not? Because they cannot calm their mind down. Do you understand? That's why they need method and technique to stay focused. That's why they use the thought to note. It's no different from those who do one-pointedness. The first two genetic factor is what? Apply thought and sustain thought. And this is basically they are doing. Understand not? Apply the thought there. Note. Then sustain that thought. Then it becomes concentration. Then after that, what do they do? The energy build up, isn't it? They experience piti, yeah. Then sukha, then one-pointedness, no thought, cannot move. This is what meditation has become. And this is Hindu meditation during the early days, thought-based, energy field. But they didn't know what sati is until Sakyamuni Buddha come. Now you can follow. And the Buddha's teaching is very simple. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not peaceful? How come you must go for method technique? How come your mind cannot become peaceful and just aware? It's because of what? Heedless, born of mental hindrance. Because the hindrance are there. And why is the hindrance there? the spiritual faculty are not there, understand or not? And this one, until today, very few people understand. You look at Ajahn's answer. He's quite good actually, but he still didn't see that thing. That's why he didn't explain it there. Maybe he understand, I don't know. But in the answer, his answer was good. Yeah, not that bad. But because Thailand used Budo, I will explain Budo after this. You on the thing again.
It depends on what stage of practice you are in. If you're at the beginning stage, you just want to note, you just want to observe. You want to stop your mind from thinking, analyzing. You want to stop your sankhara, because your sankhara will not make your mind be still or be peaceful. So the first step, you want to stop your sankhara, your thought. So you have to concentrate your mind on one particular object. In Thailand, we teach using the mantra Butto Butto. If you can keep reciting Butto Butto, then you can stop thinking about other things. This is one way of developing mindfulness, the ability to stop thinking. Once you have mindfulness, you can stop. You don't need to recite. Once you can tell your mind to stop thinking, then you don't need to recite. But if your mind still think and you cannot stop it, then you need to have something to stop it. And one way is to use the mantra. Just keep reciting Butto Butto from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep. Try to stop your thinking first and try to sit as much as possible. Because if you're moving around, your mind has to move along with your body. If you want your mind to be still, to have samadhi, you have to sit still. So besides from developing mindfulness while you are moving around, you also have to sit down and then concentrate on your mantra. Or you can change and use your breath instead if you like. If you're tired of reciting Butto Butto, when you sit, you can concentrate on your breathing. Just keep watching. Do not think, do not analyze your breath. Just watch, knowing whether it is short or long, coarse or subtle. And even if there's no breath, just make note of it. Don't get excited or then don't become afraid when you cannot feel your breath. It just means that your breath is so subtle that you cannot feel it, that's all. Some people thought if there's no breath, they might die. So they start grasping for breath. Then this will then stir up the mind, because the mind is about to be still. And then because of your fear, you stir up the mind. So you will never get into samadhi. But if you just observe the breath as it is, don't try to have any reaction to whatever the breath is. Just watch, then your mind will then eventually become still and become samadhi. So this is the first stage of practice. You want to develop that mindfulness so that you can still your mind, so that you can have samadhi. Because when you have samadhi, you will be happy. A calm mind brings great happiness. And when you have this happiness of mind, then the next step, you can use this happy mind to investigate the truth, which we call the developing of panya, or wisdom. Then you have to investigate the nature of the body, for instance, to see exactly what the body is really is. It is permanent or is it not permanent? Is it dukkha or is it not dukkha? Is it anatta or is it atta? You can investigate and find the truth. If you look at impermanent, you say, yes, it must be impermanent, because the body constantly changing from birth to aging to sickness and death. This is anicca. And is it anatta or atta? Is it yourself or is it just a body? When you look at the the development of the body and the dissolution of the body, you'll find that it's just the working of the four elements: the fire, the earth, the water, and the wind element. They combine to form the 32 parts of the body. And after the body dies, these four elements will then separate from the body. Then everything will return to wind, to fire, to water, and to earth. Then you can see that the body is anatta. There's no self in the body. You have to keep investigating until you see clearly and truly, and then be able to let go of the body. Then if you can let go of the body, if you can treat the body as something apart from yourself, that it doesn't belong to you and it is not you, then when whatever happens to the body, it will not cause you any suffering. So that's the purpose of investigation, what we call the development of wisdom or insight, vipassana. This is the second stage of practice. The first stage is to calm your mind so that your mind can be happy and be neutral, has no bias towards things. Right now, if your mind is not calm, your mind is biased. You will like the thing that you like and you will hate the thing that you dislike. But if you have a neutral mind, then you will have no like or dislike toward the things that you investigate.
Yeah, pause first. Thank you. I just explained the last part. He said your mind first must be calm, correct? Then after that must be neutral, so that you will not attach and not cling. What he's saying is correct, but he didn't refer to the five mental hindrances. When you stir your mind, when you react, pleasant, unpleasant, like and dislike, what happened? You create what? The first two? Mental hindrance, essential desire, ill will. That's why the Ajahn is not bad. But he didn't know it's not to create the sensual desire, ill will. To him is to have a neutral mind so that you do not create suffering for yourself. Understand? So this part is very useful though. Then I explain the front part. Otherwise, if it continue, I cannot remember what he said. Yeah? So just now he said, the opening statement was very good, I remember he said. It depends on what stage of practice you are. Understand now? If you are a beginner, of course your concern is stop the mind from which he know. Then he add in the word law from analyzing. When you analyze means what? You create thinking. So how can you stop the thinking? And thinking cannot be stopped. Understand now? What is Sankara? Mental activity, which is a mundane mind, thinking mind, condition arising mind. And how did it arise? Avijja, understand? Ignorant. Because when you have not straightened your view, especially to have a neutral mind, the first two mental hindrance is so strong, so powerful. So thinking will be there. That's why you cannot stop. And they have to use something to stop it. See, stop the mind from thinking and analyzing so that it can stop Sankara. And this is correct. But they don't know how to do. But this Ajahn know. Understand not? He said, once mindfulness is there or established, then no need to recite Buddha. Understand not? Straight away, just aware or observe. Silent. Then go to Anapanasati. You remember what he said? This is what you're supposed to do. But he didn't link to the five mental hindrance and the five spiritual faculty. Once you have the spiritual faculty, technically you don't have to do all this. And you know what is Buddha? It's a very famous Thai practice. It's reciting the Buddha. Understand? Buddha stands for the Buddha. You develop the faith. That's why my teacher, Ajahn Rao, so he started with this. He just recite. Putto, putto means remind you of the Buddha so that you develop the faith. The sadha leading to the virya. Then when they putto until the Buddha sound by itself and the sadha. Then the awareness and the Buddha is one. Means sati is there. It's no different from Mahayana chanting. They develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then after that, the sati will come in. Then your meditation will be very natural. But all this is still formal meditation. You still have to come out to develop the daily mindfulness. That's why this Ajahn said, after you have done the first part, means to stop the mind from thinking, to develop sati, so that you can be mindful. After that, what did he say? You use it to investigate. Remember? Investigate. So that's why I put here. Where is it? He said, when there is no more breath, don't be afraid. Remember? A lot of people don't understand. And this is what? Subtle breathing. When everything becomes so subtle. He said, the mind is about to stabilize, leading to samadhi and stillness. That's why he know. You're supposed to stay there. Don't do anything. Just note. No movement, no movement. No more the noting with a thought. Understand? He just silent and just continue to be aware. That's why they can do it. But they do not link to the whole teaching. So if you were to explain just this way, if they don't catch his word, it's very difficult for people to understand what he's trying to share. So when mindfulness is there, if you continue to silence and stabilize it, that's why I say mind about to stabilize, then leading to samadhi, stillness. He even used the word stillness. You go back and listen. Means this Ajahn, at least, to that extent, he's doing it correctly, although he couldn't link to the whole thing. Maybe he knows, but he don't have the time to explain. I'm not very sure. Yeah. So this is something that you will start to understand when you develop the meditative training through an understanding. Then you don't have to waste time doing all this. Then the other thing that he mentioned about is don't ever analyze. Because the analyzer is always the thought. Then the other thing is, to stop the mind from thinking, you need a skillful means, is because they don't have the spiritual faculty that is stabilized. That's why they have to do all this. And these are all thought-based skillful means. So now you can see very clearly. Even people who has gone around all over to learn from all the teachers and all those things, they still don't understand. There is still the doubt. And they know that they are going nowhere because as they know, they realize they become very tired. Just like that Victor that shared the retreat, you remember? Then hit very heavy. Very tired another day. And I remember Adeline told me a day before that. I didn't know about it. No. Last time, you remember? After Ing Chai lost the election at Chempaka Buddhist Lodge. All the Dhamma activity, the English section, started by him. They want to cancel all. Then luckily, Adeline and Garrett was there. They attended my class before they know my class is different. They talked to the president. They said, Brother Teo, no matter what they do, they can cancel everything except your class. I make sure it's there. So I didn't know. Then when I was there, later on, they told me I can teach, continue the rest of the activity by Ing Chai or cancer. Then he said, there is only one condition. You have to go and see somebody. I also forgot who that person is. So three of us went. I took PK, the late PK. He passed away. Then there's another one. I forgot already. Three of us. So we went and met up with them. Then when we were there, we just respectfully told them that we are here because we were told we have to meet up with the person in charge and receive some instruction from him. So what he suggests was, he said, we will let you teach, he said, but you can only teach the beginner section, he said. So, PK, as usual, PK, oh, cannot. I said, no, my daughter, stop it, I said, because I accept everybody. Beginner also, I accept, very advanced also, I said, so no need to argue over what they say. Then I told PK, just let things be, because we are very grateful they have allowed us to use the place and to continue the class. At least the venue is there. So that thing was resolved. Then later on, I didn't know. No. Actually, they got somebody there who wanted to teach. No. And it was a great relief. Luckily, he teach. And Adeline also went to the class. No. Adeline heard directly from him. He said, he do this, the standard traditional vipassana, you know, from that country. And she told Adeline, no, I'm very hardworking, no. I'm very diligent, no. I non-stop, nothing. The whole day, is it? I want to have continuous mindfulness. Then you know what she told Adeline there. But one thing, is it? At night, I become very tired. Very, very tired, is it? Head very heavy. Then Adeline kneel. That's why Adeline laugh. Then Adeline that day at the retreat, he told me that. I didn't know about that. That's why when Brother Victor report, remember what I say? Where is Adeline? Ask Adeline to come and share. And that's how Adeline share. Yeah. So you know, you can become very tired, understand? Or? Like Achan also say, you put do until very tired, then no need to put do, understand? Or? Then just relax and no breathing. So all this is because people don't understand. So when you don't understand, all this become problematic. That's why my WhatsApp was, when people meditate without understanding, means you meditate without a clear understanding of the Buddha's teaching, this is what will happen. And it's very common among Buddhist practitioner and the cultivator. And she is not the only one. I came to realize a lot after a long time. Even the clan group also told me the same thing. They find no progress. They realize that they are heading nowhere. That's why they want to open up to other type of meditation to come and share and teach. So at least one good thing is the lady who asked that question come to realize all this, then ask Achan the question. That's why we have the condition to discuss this, which is beautiful. Okay? Then afterwards, we continue. Towards the end, you can ask question. Okay, so yeah. Can. Okay, pause first. Yeah. Yeah, ask now. Never mind. Yes. Yes. Yeah, correct. It's exactly the same. In the first place, you have to drop it, then why use it? That's why your question is very straightforward and very logical. That's why if you meditate with understanding, you straight away will see all this. Why am I doing all this? Because I don't understand what sati is. And because I don't understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The meditation as taught by the Buddha is what? He asks you to strive on with heedfulness. Then you define heedfulness. Heedfulness is Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana, in the here and the now. So that one is definitely heedfulness. Otherwise, how can you realize the enlightenment? Supreme born free, Nibbana. So if that is the heedfulness, then the first two words that the Buddha said, constantly meditative and ever mindful. How do I start? I have to be ever mindful to meditate. Otherwise, I cannot meditate. But the whole of meditation under Satipatthana Sutta is all about sati, mindfulness. That's why mindfulness is number one. And it's a spiritual faculty. I have to develop it. Then after that, stabilize it to become ever mindful. This should be the focus. But people are not going into that direction. You know why? They are so gullible. They want to do vipassana. They want to have jhana. They want to have the 16 insight knowledges and all those things. So what do? They go for method and technique. The teacher that can give them that one. Yeah. So it is all the thought, belief, become gullible. They don't even want to find out what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. They have gone back to the teaching and realized that it is heedfulness. Before he passed away, the Buddha, Parinibbana, again he reminded the monks, strive on with heedfulness. And if you don't have heedfulness, Dhammapada verse 21 make it very clear. The heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. Understand? So the whole focus should be training your mind to be mindful, leading to samadhi. That's why Ajahn know. He said, when there is mindfulness, yeah, you don't even know anymore. Because when the breath all become very quiet, he said, don't be afraid, because the mind is about to stabilize, entering the no thought capacity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. He even said it will go into stillness, still mind that will accumulate into samadhi. Then this mind can investigate the Dhamma. That's why he said, after that, sati is to steal the mind, yeah, leading to samadhi. This is the part that Ajahn was trying to say. He used the word mindfulness, of course. Yeah? Mindfulness is to steal the mind. See? Make it quiet, silent, yeah? Leading to samadhi. To steal means what? Don't do anything. Silent. As long as you don't create like and dislike, that's why he got it right, is because he said the mind must be neutral so that it will not attach, cling, positive and negative. So without this, the mental hindrance will be there. And those who have not pain, 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 you not only verbalize, you create mental hindrance. And that is the most gullible. And yet they don't see that point. That's why very difficult to progress if you do this type of meditation. And all these are very obviously thought-based. So meditation can become very complicated and very difficult when you don't understand. That's why I say always spend time on the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. Get it clear, clearly understood. Then when you do your understanding, you progress very fast. Technically, you don't need method and technique. You straight away relax, silent, and let things be. The sankhara will move, then it will slow down and fall back to the natural state of mind before the stirring. That's why you only need to silence. The real meditation is no doer, no meditator. No doing inside there. Because that one that is actively doing meditation is always the thought. And the thought cannot understand. So this one, who knows, is the thought. Eh? And when the thought is active, there is no sati. And this one, if they cannot get it right and understood, they can be wasting their time for umpteen years doing the same thought-based meditation. Because the approach is using the thought, and the thought is egoic condition, accumulation of experiences. That's why it responds to memory. How can that thought, which is limited, so conditioned with all the views and opinion, meditate to understand? There is no way. You need sati to be aware of all this movement that condition you into negativity, create the self-delusion in you and get you entangled and become miserable. The awareness that is aware of all this movement will come to understand that It is due to your delusion, your self-delusion, your wrong view that entangle you. Then you have to investigate, like Achan say, is this body really you, like the Buddha say? Is feeling you? Is perception you? Are all the sankhara activity, mental state, thinking, are they really you? Is there a thinker behind the thought? Are the consciousness that arise and pass away really you? If they are not you, then who are you? What are you? That is meditation. The silent mind will understand. The silent mind that is aware will understand. No need to go and look for anything. The looking is always by the thought. The noting is always by the thought. And you cannot understand the true meditation when your mind is active. The true meditation is like the Buddha's teaching. 5 ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The 3rd way and the 4th way. The 3rd way is just silent, aware. Then you will go back to its original state. Because you didn't stir, you didn't react, you didn't create mental hindrance. Then it will become peaceful again. Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of the thought is the very ending of that thought. Then with that, every time you have problem, you have to go to a quiet place and silence your mind. That one also, you can't really live life. But at least it's better than all the noting and the thought base. Then the Buddha said, use this to trace the origination factor. That's why you go and do the Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases, the 18 senses. Then you realize it's always through one of the senses that stir your mind because of your wrong view. That's why you have to learn to see things as they are. You have to develop the understanding of how sankhara create mental hindrance, how it conditions you into negativity. And through this, you can straighten your view and retrospectively reverse all this, so that the next time when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel, or recall something through the thought process, you are at peace. Because you have straightened your view. You no longer have wrong view. And to be at peace is to follow the Buddha's teaching. You must have the ability to see things as they are. Means what? Not from your memory, not from your thought. When you see things from your memory, which is your thought, what will happen? Yeah? Your brain is an accumulation of all of your experiences in life. Your views, your opinion, your belief system, your conditioning, and all the wrong view, everything. Like and dislike, mental hindrance, everything is the evil root. And if you use this to see, this is not seeing things as they are. This is seeing things according to what your mind tells you, understand? According to your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, scars of memory, and all those things. So how can you see? Because there is really so much negativity and wrong view inside there. That's why you have to see things as they are, means put the brain aside. Put the views, opinion, all this aside. Because this is going to make you deluded, create a lot of wrong thought, triggering all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and the suffering, and the affliction. That's why you have to see things as they are, means when you really see without the words, without the conditioning, without anything, then the silent mind really see. And what does it see? Your insight into the phenomena. The universal characteristics are impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature. The moment the silent mind insight into it, it will see through that silent, the dependent originating, condition arising. Causal phenomena. Then how your mind entangle, input the content, and get yourself caught. And how the whole dependent origination just arise, and then you suffer. This is what you're supposed to see. You don't go and note all those funny things. Things that are not fit for attention, don't pay attention. And what are the things that is fit for attention? The handful of leaf, which is the Four Noble Truths. that Ajahn say, look at the part that leads to suffering. If there is no suffering, don't look at it. Don't go and note all the 16 stages of jnana and all those things. What for? And the next one, okay, we continue. Huh? Yeah.
See things as they are, as opposed to seeing them as what you want them to be. So when you see things as impermanent,
see things as they are,
as dukkha, as anatta, then you can let go of your attachment to them.
Ah, otherwise your attachment is there.
Attachment when they have to part from you, then you would not feel any sadness.
Mm.
Because you have no attachment to them. You don't have any desire for them to remain with you forever. You're ready to let them go when the time comes. This applies to everything else besides the body. It applies to vedana, it applies to the mental state of mind that you have, and it also applies to everything external of your body, such as your wealth, your friends, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, anything that you have. They all fall into the same category. They are all anicca, dukkha, anatta. But you tend to see them in the opposite. You tend to see them as nitya, sukha, anatta. That's what caused you to be unhappy when they have to leave you. But if you see them all the time as anicca, dukkha, anatta, then when they leave you, you won't feel any sadness. That's the goal of practice, is to get rid of all the sadness and the bad feelings.
The goal of practice is to get rid of all the sadness and the bad feeling, which is your mental negativity. Continue. I explained already.
Why is the mind so afraid of... Why does the mind want stimulation all the time?
This is
so
the best.
Afraid of being empty. The mind is always seeking for something.
The Buddha says illusion, avicca. Avicca will cause the mind to constantly use sankhara to look for things to make it happy. It doesn't know that real happiness is inside itself. So it keeps searching for something outside of it, out of the mind, which all ends up in dukkha. Because whatever you find, you will lose it one day. Because the mind doesn't know that true happiness lies within itself. It happens when you can stop sankhara from working, when you can stop thinking. That's why we want to develop mindfulness, to stop sankhara. When you stop sankhara, then the mind becomes still and then it becomes happy. Then it stops looking for things, searching for things.
So now you can see, the answer is very clear. And what Ajahn said is true. You need mindfulness to stop sankhara. You know why? When you are just aware, no thought, how can sankhara arise? Do you understand? What is sati, awareness? Sati is awareness before the knowing. So there is no thought, nothing. That's why you need sati. Sorry, Christina, don't. Off the thing first. Off the thing first. It's okay. So this one is very important. You need mindfulness. Very stable. Stability of mindfulness. Then only sankhara can cease. It's either or. You remember I told you? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's lost in thought, heedless, or silent and aware. Fully aware. That is what the mind is all about. And you cannot have that awareness, you will have problem. Then the lady asked, why is the mind always seeking? Realize? It needs something. Never mind, she's trying to record. Now my sweet aunt not very clear. She'll record on, don't worry. Fear of being empty. You meditate to realize what? The empty nature of mind and existence. The true mind is really empty. Nothing inside there. And you seek that. And yet you fear of that. what is going on? Because they thought, when I am nothing, I will die. Understand? That's why the attachment to self is so intense. That's why Ajahn Sucha say, this is all sankhara. Understand? Sankhara is always seeking. You know what is seeking? Yeah? There is this seeking. Must have something to make you occupy, understand? And that is basically your craving, your becoming. Because you want to become enlightened, understand? Then she realized the mind is always seeking, wanting, afraid of emptiness. Then Ajahn explained to her, this is your sankhara active. Why? Because you know too much. Understand? Day in, day out, non-stop nodding. Within the day, when you are not meditating, you got enough mental hindrance. Understand? You got enough heedless thinking. And when you are meditating, you some more go and create more thinking. So what are you doing? You are going totally against meditation. And they cannot see that. And that is the most dangerous thing to do. That's why no amount of thought-based meditation can bring about the enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind. And if you cannot see this, it's very difficult for you to progress. Then the mental hindrance and the opposite five spiritual faculties, these are the most important teaching. It's a twin teaching. The five mental hindrance and the five spiritual faculties, they are the twin pair. The direct opposite to counter the mental hindrance. So if this is not understood, you can be wasting a lot of time doing all those thought-based meditation. Then everywhere you go, you search, you ask questions. Different place, different teacher teach you different technique, method, and doing. And you end up very confused. That's why after this, they could go somewhere else. It never end. But when you already have the understanding, you don't need to go anywhere. Then Ajahn said, yeah? The true peace is within. Why search outside? Why run all over the place? When it's already there all the time, what you fail to understand is there is a true mind, true nature within, which is already stillness, silent. That is your original mind, true state. If you don't even know that, you chase all over using that thought, the sankhara. Of course you cannot find, because this is the one that is conditioned arising, dependent originating, not the true one. And this one cannot understand, but the thought cannot understand. Thought is limited, egoic, with all the conditioning, with all the views, opinion and all those things. And this one cannot realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. The enlightenment in the here and the now. And that one can only come through the silence that develops the wisdom through the direct seeing that it sees. The mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. Then only the enlightenment, that so-called nibbana, arises. But it's not a state. You cannot talk about it because it's the unconditioned. And the unconditioned can only arise when everything ceases. Even the pure awareness no more ceases. Okay, we continue. Huh? So, yeah.
Can I continue to...
Sure, go on. It's your opportunity.
Bante, we have been practicing the Mahasi method for many years, and we are taught to watch Sabawa, all the Sabawa Dhamma. So sometimes, you know, we watch and watch and watch, you know, the vibration of the rising and falling. I, you know, sometimes like because I haven't had a teacher for a long time. Sometimes we watch so much, just the vibration, and we really don't know where is it leading to.
Because you're watching on the wrong objects.
You
should only watch at
that
the object
is the
that cause you suffering. Because if the object doesn't cause you any suffering, it doesn't affect you. There's no need to watch it. You should watch a thing that will cause you suffering, like watch your husband, watch your wife, watch your children, watch your money, because when you lose them, they cause you suffering, see? So you have to watch them, but you have to watch in a way that it will not make you suffer. You have to watch them as they come and go, they rise and cease, as impermanent, as something that you cannot cling to. This is the way to watch. You don't look at feeling that rise and cease that doesn't cause you any suffering. Yeah, it's a waste of time. Yeah, you only want to watch the things that cause you is problem to you, that cause you unhappiness, cause you restlessness and agitation, and they are your wealth, the things that you love. These are the things that makes you always worrying, anxious, and afraid. Yeah. So you have to watch to really understand their nature, that no matter how much you love and how much you try to protect them, you will never be able to keep them with you forever. Yeah. One day you're going to have to lose
them. Okay, I explain this part first. We pause for a while. You see? I don't know. they are palito. Ingvino. No, sabhava dhamma means, I think, the jnana knowledge, all those things, if I'm not wrong. Means they say like ultimate truth. Dhamma. That's all, The 16 stages of insight actually got its meaning. But it's not for you to know. That's all. You don't gonna look for it. When you become enlightened, you will go through all those things. You will know that you have gone through it. It's not for you to go and know that. Like Nibbana, you can go and know Nibbana. Exactly like, because these are friction. The various stages of cultivation where you will pass through. How can you go and know Anicjang? Understand? Impermanent. There is no such meditation. You have to develop the insight into Anicjang, yes. But you cannot know Anicjang. Impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. You go and know like that. How can impermanent arise in your mind? You are verbalizing. Okay, the other thing that is good about this Ajahn sharing to her is you are noting the wrong thing. This one, not the thing that you should not miss. Unfit for attention. Like Sapa Asava Sutta say, you not already, it bring you nowhere and create more suffering. Like the lady said, he note the vibration of the rising and falling. You know what is the vibration of the rising and falling? They note the object of meditation is rising and falling. And they try to note all the intense energy, with the vibration, everything. Then, according to her, it doesn't lead her anywhere. So what is important is that, as I said, these are not the correct thing to note. You're supposed to note where there is suffering, understand? So, according to the Buddha, under the Sabba Asava Sutta, things that are fit for attention are the, what are they? The handful of leaf. Understand? And what are these handful of leaf? The Four Noble Truths. And what is the Four Noble Truths all about? The first Noble Truth is Noble Truth of suffering. That's why Ajahn said, watch at all those that brings about suffering. Then you will know the cause of its arising. Because you fail to penetrate the characteristics that they are impermanent. They bring about suffering when you attach and cling and when you want things your way. And they are empty, non-self, not you. Without this penetrative awakening to the three universal characteristics, you cannot free your mind. Yeah. But one thing that he overlooked is the handful of leaves, the Four Noble Truths under Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha said you have to cultivate via the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths to arise the three types of corresponding wisdom. which is Suttamaya Panya through hearing of the Four Noble Truths. Then if you are still not able to awaken, then you reflect, contemplate, and inquire to develop the second turning wisdom, following the hint given by the Buddha. This Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. Then the second Noble Truth, the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned or severed. Then the third Noble Truth, the Noble Truth of cessation of all suffering, which is a realization of Nibbana, is to be realized. Then the last one is the Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. So all these are the hint for second turning. Then you inquire, why did the Buddha say that? Then how can I understand all? This second turning wisdom is very important. That's why contemplate, reflect, and be very stable. Then it prepares the base for you to awaken. Then the third turning is bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of meditative training, bhavana. That one is satipatthana, completely only satipatthana, four foundation of mindfulness. Then just now you remember at the beginning, he said, the lady said, when mind has lust, you know there is lust. Is that correct? Yeah? Big difference now, this word. When you don't understand, you go and use this word, you are gone. No. Who know? The thought, no. And what is thought? Yeah? You see, this one, the thought, is very, very cunning. That's the reason why Krishnamurti say the most dangerous person in this world is the one that say I. Because what is there to know? All our knowing come from what? Thought, which is memory, which is knowledge, and of the past. So how can you realize that enlightenment? So the whole of the Satipatthana become completely out. The Buddha say, when the mind has the content of consciousness of greed or lust, you must be aware. Aware means what? You're silent and be with it. Then you realize this is the stirring of the mind. You already, the silent mind, aware, no word, nothing. And they know this is the one that draw you, condition you into coming negativity. There is an evil root, make you evil. So when you are aware, means there is mindfulness to be aware that this mind state is no longer in its silent, still inner awareness. Means the original state has stir. Stir means what? It's like the mental hindrance. When there is sensual desire and ill will, you must be aware. Aware means your mind has stir and create sensual desire. Do you understand? That's why you are aware. Then you know what to do. You can retrospectively reverse it. Either you use the four right effort to abandon it or prevent it from arising. Then the other right effort to create the opposite wholesome thought. If you don't have the awareness to be aware that this has stir, you keep on noting, means what are you trying to do? You don't know what you are meditating. He said, the sutta say, I know. So, I already know. So, how to teach you? How to develop the wisdom? Yeah, you already know. That's why that word is not know, it's aware. When it arises, there is an awareness. So, likewise for lust or greed or anger or hatred, it's an evil root. Immediately you are aware, you develop the precept. What did the Buddha tell you? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying and all those things. And who are the people who do all this? Evil people, deluded people, lustful people, selfish people, violent, angry people. And these are the people who has the evil root. That's why you undertake the training rule is ever mindful. you have to keep your precept. You undertake this training rule not to or abstain from doing all this. So without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot abstain. You cannot even keep your precept. And this is talking about the four foundations of mindfulness, no? Satipatthana, no? If your mindfulness is not stable, you completely cannot deal. Where you can't see how this defilement comes about, how it stirs so fast at the moment of sense experience. Without wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you completely cannot handle. That's why your aggregate are grasping aggregate, understand not? Keep on grasping. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, your reaction, your stirring, your envy, your jealousy, and you are never at peace because of delusion, ignorance. And this is what meditation is all about. But when people don't have the understanding, they distort the teaching. And it's very easy to distort, isn't it? Just one word, isn't it? The Satipatthana say, when mind has greed, you must be aware. That's it. Aware means silent and feel it. Then you know what that movement is, not the word. Then you will understand completely what the Buddha meant by this word, loba. Greed. The definition is very wide. But that movement, when you are aware, you know where it's leading you to. You become very lustful. Then you, not only upon contact feeling arise, then immediately condition craving, that one will condition grasping. You grasp, then you become that one. Then you take birth, transgression. You will see all this happening. That's why the three evil roots, the Pali word of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, no need to check this dictionary. The one who has gone through will understand it thoroughly. Because this is the teaching, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. You have to awaken. So this is how meditation is to be understood. Then this one I purposely didn't ram. You have to make sure you understand this. What is this? Pointing? Yeah? Direct to the? If you cannot have this understanding, you cannot meditate. Well, this is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the true mind. And to realize this, you have to be completely silent, without thought. When you are mindful, aware, it must not be a conditioned state. It must be a free mind, relaxed, silent, and just aware. That's why this is the most important understanding, like Mimi San, remember that Chong Lip? The first time he attended my Sumeru retreat, 1 day, 2 day, 1 night retreat, you remember? The first day after the 12:30 break, I think we're supposed to go for lunch break. She walked towards me when I came out. He smiled. Then after that, I smiled back. Then she came and talked to me. She said, Brother Teo, thank you so much. Your teaching was very, very good. Then I looked at him. I said, you cannot understand. He was so young. That time, I think 22 years old. I said, you can understand. He said, Brother Teo, the problem with living beings is they don't know that there are two minds. So young, he can straight away grasp the essential teaching that I try to share. He said, if living beings can understand that there are two types of mind, they will not have all this problem. And I sadhu him straight away. Then after that, I met Mimi. I told him, your son, I tell you, the nature from the past must be something very exceptional. Otherwise, he cannot understand that one. Then this retreat, I tell you, the whole thing came out. He was with Maitreya. Paying respect and all those things. Then suddenly that message came. When he was in Thailand, Anandagiri also, there's a message that came when he was at the platform we all donated. Sakyamuni, Maitreya, and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. 3. Vedisasana is Maitreya Buddha's, Sakyamuni Buddha's sasana, supported by Maitreya and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then when he was there meditating and paying the respect, suddenly from inside one voice come out. Do you remember your vow? Then all of a sudden that vow play inside. As a kid, she was like stunned. Then you go and talk to the mother. Mom, this is no joke. So this type of vow inside there. Then later on when he came back, he's not supposed to attend the retreat. Then he attended the retreat. Then he went to Maitreya and paid the respect and all things. According to him, you can go and listen to the recording. You know what Maitreya sounded to him? He said, do you remember, is it? When my time come, you're supposed to be the Bodhisattva supporting me. That type of nature. And just a kid, that's why you can understand so far. And when I was sharing at the retreat at Cameron Sampo Temple, I was sharing for the first time about the brain. If you act from here, this is hell. But this is where your memory is, your conditioning, your wrong view, everything, your phobia, your fear. That's why Krishnamurti says acting according to memory is not acting at all. And this is all here. That's why when you act from here, the delusion, the wrong view, the evil, everything will arise. That's why this is hell. So how do you act? You act with wisdom, understanding. Means you act with your true nature, your true mind, that can have the direct seeing to understand all the same. Then I even share about the mind-to-mind direct transmission for the first time because of 6 Patriarch Sutta. And this time around where the Bodhisattva vow came about for the first time at the retreat, we renew them. Then there were conditions people can understand. Then I share how this mind-to-mind transmission can happen. No need words, nothing. Because when you are in that state, connected to the true mind, that silent, it can understand things very fast. That's why they don't need much word, just a few words. Immediately they awaken. It's like winning. So because of that, after I share and finish, then we're supposed to go for lunch break. And I saw him, the boy and the mother, he was pointing to the whiteboard now. He said, Mom, that was the most beautiful. I was waiting for this teaching. So Mimi thought it's the yin-yang symbol, no? The Tao symbol. Then the boy said, no, Mom, that one at the heart, that one, that nature. The direct seeing, the true mind. He said, that was the teaching I'm waiting for. At this age, can have that type of understanding. That's why I told Mimi, You are very blessed to have him as your kid. And he can understand at this age. And the retreat all old lady on. Where got people of his age go and attend on. So that is the one that you need to have to understand. Never underestimate anybody. When the time come, they can really, really move. And the moment they connect, that's why you look at him, his parami is so good, he never get lost or not. He never go to other place, then only come. The first one that he learned from is from the mother who learned from me. Then he came direct to me. It's like hit the bullseye straight away. But in the past, he never lead people astray. So he don't have to go all those places. And he can understand truth very fast. And a young boy. And you remember his earlier sharing, he said last time as a kid, you can name anything. He's very naughty on it. Anything about naughtiness, he has already done it before. It's for him to understand. Last time when I was young also, for the first 6 years, my mind got no thought. It's very naive, very beautiful kid. And my grandmother thought I'm a dumb. Then later on, at the age of 6, before I go to school, they transferred me back to Alastha. Then I stay in a very notorious place. All the conditioning coming. Then all the bad word, everything, you cannot beat me at that time, I tell you. Every 10 word come out, at least 6 or 7 all foul language at that time. Then you join with all those people who don't have education, who do all those funny things. They evolve in a lot of crime thing and all those things. It's for you to see, to expose. Then after that, surprisingly, you will come out of it beautifully. And this is what Dhamma is all about. When you understand, when the time comes for you to move, you really move, and it's so beautiful. Okay, maybe we play on. We have to rush a bit. Yeah.
Just the way to watch the things that you love and try to train your mind to let go, because you cannot keep them forever.
And then Bhante, like the 16 vipassana insights, when we practice, we have when we read the insight knowledges, when we practice in intensive practice, we have some of them arising. But does that really lead to Magapala?
I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, 16
vipassana.
What are they?
Nama, rupa, pariccheda, yan, and all these. And then
you don't have to know anything like that. You just watch your mind. You only watch one thing. Watch whether your mind is happy or not happy. If it's not happy, find out the cause of that unhappiness.
Very direct, isn't it?
That unhappiness. If you're not happy with your husband, figure out why. Ask why are you unhappy with your husband. You will find that because you want him to do something for you and he doesn't do it for you. So you're not happy. So what you do, you want to be happy, just don't ask him to do anything for you. Let him be. Then you will not be unhappy.
Let him be. That one problem solved. Accept him for what he is.
See, that's all you have to know. Don't go through all this theoretical thing that you read. They might be explaining the details of how these things work. But in real time, in real life, you don't need to know them. All you need to know them is how you feel, whether you're happy or not happy. If you're not happy, try to find the cause of your unhappiness. And they are caused by your defilements, your kilesa, or your cravings. And if you can find the cause of this unhappiness, then just get rid of it. Once you get rid of it, then there won't be any sadness or unhappiness.
Thank you so much, Ajahn. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Any more? No more?
Yeah, I think end already.
Because we're going to switch to the Thai.
They are switching over to the Thai. Yeah, Ishan. Oh, he mentioned that, which is very good. That is what sati is all about. Actually, the word watch is inverted comma. No thought there. Silent. Be with it. When the unhappy feeling come out. That's why the satipatthana is all mentioned. When there is this feeling, when feeling has become unpleasant, you must be aware. Understand? You don't go and note unhappy feeling, envy, jealousy, pain. What are you trying to do? You're supposed to be aware, be silent, be with it. Then when you're silent, what happens? You don't create any more hindrance there. Then sati take over. Then you become peaceful. Then you don't feed it with any more mental energy. Then what happened to the unpleasant feeling? Eva? Cease to be. Then you realize, the real meditation is like what the Buddha teaches, the third way. Don't do anything. Nobody inside there. it returns to its original, natural state of stillness and silence. And that is what your true mind is all about. Why you go and stir and make it like a wave and turbulent inside there? All this comes from delusion, the stirring, through wrong view. You just have to relax, silent, and just maintain awareness. Whatever mind state that arise, like anger, fear, hatred, pain, unpleasant feeling, numbness, I would say, they are conditioned arising. It's not you. Anger is not you. Pain is not you. Envy, jealousy, unhappiness is not you. So why do you go and know? You just have to understand, see things as they are, let them arise. Then you silent, then you will trace the origination factor. They are dependent originating due to your wrong view. That's why you stir your mind and then it becomes anger, it becomes fear, it becomes worry, anxiety. Then when you continue to silence without creating mental hindrance of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, then what happens? No mental hindrance means you will be at peace because your sati will take over. And when sati take over, there is no thought. Then no more mental energy feeding the defilement. Then the defilement will slow down and cease. That's why this is meditation. The very flowering of the anger is the very ending of the anger, where it is energy-based. Due to wrong view, you create the evil wrong anger, then it stirs, then the emotion come out. But when you don't do anything, it will return to its original state of stillness. And this is what the true mind is all about. That's like pointing towards the true mind. You can be with the true mind awareness most of the time. You sure develop fantastic understanding. And that wisdom will free your mind. So you don't need to use all these skillful means to understand the impermanent suffering state and non-self. The direct knowledge and vision within the silence, you will awaken to it. Then you realize all this is dependent originating. The coming and the going, there is nobody inside there. It's just an awareness. That is the most beautiful understanding. Okay? Oh, still got 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. Any question? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can rejoice. So always remember, be with it. Understand? Whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. You have to learn to be at peace with it. Otherwise, you will suffer. You will create craving, wanting things your way. We are conditioned like that. Things will be like that. You cannot be otherwise. That's why Krishnamurti and Bhayankirti say, we have to accept what is. You cannot fight what is. What is the reality. Causes and conditions like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. So this is the most powerful understanding. That's why my teacher came out with another one. Is it? We choose accept everything as natural. Finish. Nature has its condition. Thing is just the way it is. Only mighty nature rolling by. Why are you so kepo and agitated, caught in between, and do all this funny reaction and stirring of your mind, making yourself terrible, creating all the suffering, the misery, and the affliction through delusion? Why can't you accord and flow? Thing is just the way it is. Develop more and more acceptance through wisdom, understanding. Then you will be beautiful. Then the form and mind is for you to use beautifully with understanding. The trouble is people allow the form and mind to create misery in them. They don't know that they are the owner of the form and mind. They thought they are that form and mind. Then that form and mind create delusion in you, wrong view in you, and create havoc in you and make you miserable. And you still think the form and mind is a good friend. That guy make me angry. Then when this form and mind deteriorate, go the way of nature, you got so much fear, you think you are dying. You worry about you getting sick, getting old and die finally. But you think it's you. They are not you. They are your vehicle, your tool for you to come. through karma, karmically conditioned for you to use. Why can't you understand this and use it with understanding so that you become beautiful? So that your mind state is always beautiful. You no need to let go. And I said, who let go? The one that who let go. If you really understand all this echo and flow, there is no necessity to let go. That is a delusion by itself. The worst is they put the word learn how to let go. How can you learn to let go? There is no such learning. You have to awaken to that truth. That's why the Buddha Dhamma, you cannot learn to be enlightened. Learning cannot make you enlightened. Learning gives you knowledge, understand? But you have to meditate, silence your mind, reflect, contemplate, and allow the silent mind in the creative state to awaken. That is the real enlightenment. Not all the thought based on knowledge, based on learning, practicing, and all those things. Who practice? The thought practice. The true mind never practice. The true mind is just aware, finish. It just awakened. So see this clearly. Okay, 10:30 alarm. Ah, yeah, English. Yeah, my wife said alarm very accurate. 10:30. Now my English. Yeah, you can ask. Yeah, the mic. Take from the back. No need to use already. Use the mic. Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, Ratio. I want to share this Satipatthana because since you are touching on this, at the end of each of the four foundations of mindfulness,
yes,
the body,
there is a final summary. Yes,
the body, the feeling, yeah, the mind, the citta, and the dhamma,
yes, yes,
nupassana.
Yes.
It keeps repeating the
same thing.
Same thing. Which I would like to read out.
Yes,
just for sharing. If
cling on to not on.
Cling to nothing in the world. So okay, I just take the gist now. Is it?
Yes.
Now his awareness is established. These are mental contents.
Yeah.
Thus, he developed his awareness to such an extent that there is mere understanding along with mere awareness. In this way, he dwells detached without clinging towards anything in the world of mind and matter. This is how monks among dwells observing mental contents in mental contents as regards the five hindrances. This is the one I pick up from five hindrances. So, before that, wait. The first sentence that I read was thus he dwells observing the phenomenon of arising and passing away in the mental content. Now his awareness is established. These are mental content. As for the body, they put body exists. As for the feeling, the feeling exists. As for the citta, citta exists.
But just to develop understanding. But they use the word just for knowledge. Therefore, cling on to that.
Not knowledge, just for mere understanding along with mere
awareness.
If they
use understanding, that is correct. A lot of book, knowledge, put knowledge.
It's just for mere understanding along with mere awareness.
Yeah.
And then cling to
cling
nothing
to
in
none.
The world.
Because there is nothing
beautiful
to hold. And there is another part in front, which last time at the last Satipatthana class, I keep on repeating. You can only do that after you have overcome covetousness and greed. After overcoming covetousness and greed, then only you do the four foundation of mind. Otherwise, you can't. And what is that? Covetousness is your greed. Grief is your sorrowful mind. Understand? You need to have the initial wisdom, born of kaya nubhasana. You remember? Mindfulness of four posture, then daily mindfulness. Then this will give you the initial wisdom to understand that they are not really you. They are impermanent, leading to suffering and non-self. But you have not fully awakened. Understand? That time you only have the initial wisdom. But through your mindfulness, you can understand this. But you are not awakened to it. the insight hasn't come. But that is good enough. Then you will not cling and grasp. That's why after overcoming covetous, covetous means very strong grieving. Grief means you cannot become miserable already. You can still be unhappy for a while. But you cannot become like sorrowful until grief, sorrow and lamenting. You cannot really. So this initial stage, you have to have the ability. Because if your mind is incapable of all this, you cannot do satipatthana. When the craving arises, when the covetousness arrives, or the condition arises for you to be sorrowful, you are drawn. Because you have not had the initial wisdom. That's why it's always say, after overcoming covetousness and greed, then only you start to do. Then when you start to do, you have to develop the awareness of it so that you awaken. Awaken means what? Like the five mental hindrances. When these mental hindrances are, let's say, sensual desire or any other mental hindrance, when they have arisen, you have to be aware. Then after that, the Buddha continued with it. If you continue to be aware, then you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance is to be. Then later on, as you move on to the six internal senses, six external senses, you will even be able to trace the origination factor for that mental hindrance. Means you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Then later on, you will also come to understand how the arisen hindrance is to be. But when you continue to be just aware, don't fit it with any labeling to say like and dislike or pleasant and pleasant, means you don't create any more mental hindrance. Then that silence, the awareness of it, will bring about the peacefulness again. Then that hindrance ceases. That's how you come to know how it ceases. No need to do anything, just silent and aware. You don't create any more stirring or mental hindrance, then there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Then it will be in sati. Then you understand. Then if you do it until so stable, when the wisdom is there, after you do the six internal six, then the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, is there. Every time upon sense contact, at the moment of sense experience, what happens is this yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, straight away come out. Thunk. Of course, no sound. It cannot move. Feeling will remain as pure feeling. There's no more light and dislike. No more of this, what they call mental hindrance. And then you will come to know how, not in the future, this mental hindrance can never arise. Understand? This is how you come. Because when the wisdom is there, you know it cannot come out already. It cannot stir already. Feeling become pure feeling. All the aggregate become free. Non-grasping. Because of that wisdom. There's like nothing free except wisdom. Then you will come to understand all this is just for understanding. Then you will cling on to none because they are dependent originating. Condition arises. No reality. That's why the form of mind is for you to use to come. To develop this beautiful understanding so that you can use it and yet not attach to it. This is how winning become greatly awakened when the fifth patriarch explained this part to him, the mundane mind. You must know how to use it yet not deluded by it, means without any attachment to it. That is the real understanding of life. That is the third stage of seeing, suchness seeing, then you integrate back to life. And this is what enlightenment is all about. Otherwise, you're still one-sided. Okay, we better end. Oh, 10 minutes. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is very good sharing tonight. So at least you have a clearer understanding. And this one, luckily they recorded video. Then we can discuss it. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, starting with the devas. Akasata Chirbubata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Queen Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Oh, 就像有时是哇，要去跑步啊，什么的，对不对？啊，对对对，跑步嘞。 Thank you.